You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. All this week, we're going to focus on climate change and how it will affect us here in the state of Michigan. It is a huge crisis that faces our generation and generations to come. It'll affect every aspect of our lives, from what we eat to how we travel to how we live inside our homes. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton is here now to talk about the big picture for the state of Michigan. Tracy, let's just start at the very beginning. What is climate change and why is it happening?
So climate change describes what's happening to our environment as the planet's atmosphere is warming up. And that warming is happening because of an increase in greenhouse gases, primarily carbon dioxide, but also methane and some other gases. And those gases are almost all of them coming from us. Whenever we produce and burn a fossil fuel, including coal, natural gas, gasoline, diesel, propane, the like, and also from our clearing of the world's forests, which trap carbon dioxide.
And boy, we can see and feel that warming is happening already. I just got back from touring France with a group of Michigan Radio listeners. So we were there for the highest temperatures France had ever recorded. We had 104 degrees in the Loire Valley. So I certainly wasn't surprised at this new report that July was the hottest month in recorded history. So we know it's global, but it's going to look somewhat different based on where you live. Let's talk about Michigan. What's it going to look like in Michigan?
Well, it is going to make things hotter in Michigan, that's for sure, especially in the summer. And we had a taste of what is to come in mid-July. We had 3-4 days of nearly a 100-degree heat index. And that's the combination of heat and humidity that just feels incredibly oppressive. And it's dangerous, too. So imagine having that happen not just a handful of times a year, but up to 25 days a year. The Union of Concerned Scientists says if we do nothing to curtail our emissions, that's in our future by mid-century. And 26 to 50 days of those extreme heat waves a year by late century if we do nothing.
Well, we call it climate change now and not just global warming because the heat's going to do other things, right? Like here in Michigan, we're seeing an increase already in these intense and more frequent rainstorms and flooding.
Yeah, we have seen that. And we've seen an increase about 14% of precipitation in the Great Lakes region since 1951. That's expected to continue. But weather is harder to predict than the temperature increases. So it could be back and forth. We could have years of really dry, hot summers in Michigan with super wet springs. And we could have more lake effect snow in the winters. But as it continues to get warmer, we could have a lot more rain in the winter.
So this is an area where the science is not as settled as it is with temperature increases. What about our Great Lakes? Because we all remember 6 years ago, we had near record lows in some of the lakes. This year, everybody's talking about near record highs, which causes a lot of problems with erosion and people's homes flooding and marina owners really being hurt. Is more of that in our future?
The answer is probably. This is one of the biggest areas of uncertainty right now for Great Lakes climate scientists. Will we see more of this rapid shifting from low to high levels and back again? But the research is definitely leaning towards yes on that one.
What else might we see in the Great Lakes?
Oh, boy. It's a long and not very happy list. Maybe more E. coli contamination on beaches, more severe cyanobacterial blooms in the lakes, changes in our fish populations and forests. I guess there's one positive thing to mention, and that's that it's going to be so much worse in the south. It's so hot that people may actually have to move, and they may move here.
All right. So you mentioned a couple of times, Tracy, that this is if we do nothing. Let's talk first about what we can do to prepare for climate change and then what we can do to slow climate change, because some of it is coming no matter what we do, right?
That is right. So the carbon dioxide we're putting into the atmosphere right now, it remains there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So even if we stopped all fossil fuel burning and deforestation tomorrow, the planet is still going to warm up from the CO2 that we pumped into the atmosphere before. So you mentioned when you were in Paris, it was a terrible heat wave. But that city has an emergency plan that it developed after the last deadly heat wave in 2003. So they do things now like checking up on the most vulnerable people in the city, making sure they have ways to get cool. And They dramatically lowered heat deaths compared to that last heat wave. So our Michigan cities need to be doing things like that. They can go to the Red Cross, which just issued a comprehensive report on what steps to take. And because of that flooding, our cities also have to make changes to our infrastructure to deal with flood events.
All right. Let's talk about what we can do, really what we can do to try to reduce carbon emissions and limit the impact of climate change. We can't all afford to immediately run out and buy an electric car and put solar panels on our roofs. And it's clearly a bigger problem than just individual behavior. So what could each of us do that has a bigger impact?
So I asked Richard Rood that exact question, what can we do? He teaches climate change problem solving at the University of Michigan, and his answer kind of surprised me. He tells his students to run for local office.
Start thinking about how to work within their homeowners associations, how to work within getting elected to city councils and school boards to start to have influence on local policy.
Yeah, he says these local and city and state policies, also regional multi-state efforts, could really move the needle on energy efficiency and renewable energy, public transportation, and reforestation. And, you know, these local and state and regional efforts are really crucial right now because the Trump administration is, in fact, rolling back policies that address climate change. I also asked this question of Margretta Kearney. She's with the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and she agrees with Rood. She says, get involved. If your city doesn't have a climate change plan, demand one. Or if there is one, but the city's not meeting its goals, hold your elected leaders accountable. She says, vote for people who promise to do something about climate change and hold them accountable. Hold corporations accountable.
We can force the people who represent us in government and the companies who sell things to us, we can insist that they change the way they are responding to climate change and that they take much more significant action. And that bigger system change, I think, is where there can be a real impact on carbon emissions.
And we have heard of businesses realizing it is smart business to be environmentally aware and to take kind of actions. And you've just gotten wind of an environmental initiative that Governor Whitmer is launching.
Yeah, last week she announced a plan to direct state departments to look at ways they can reduce their energy use and increase energy efficiency. And that includes an initiative over at our state prisons where they're going to be installing solar panels to make the prisons greener.
Well, we'll be talking a lot more about environmental issues and how people are responding with action all this week. Meantime, you can get lots of information and resources by going to MichiganRadio.org. Tracy Samilton, always great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.